Pete. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you, Tony. Good morning.
It's weird to say former congressman. Do you miss the job?
Oh, sure. I mean, it was an awesome job, but, you know, you can't do it forever. The transition has been going very, very well. I feel I don't have any regrets. I've moved on to different things. I've been replaced by someone who I've got a lot of confidence in, Bill Huizinga. So, I'm doing just great.
And now you are in Washington, D.C., working at a lobbying firm. Tell us what you're doing.
Well, actually, you're calling me at home this morning. I'm at home in Holland, Michigan, enjoying the 10 degree weather with you. I've joined a law firm in D.C. On a part-time basis that I'm doing business consulting with. I can't even lobby for a year if I choose to. That's a decision that we'll make in another 12 months or so. I've also going to be doing some work with a couple of think tanks. One think tank I'm going to be working with on educational issues. Another think tank I'm going to be working with will allow me to keep my fingers engaged into national security issues. A couple of advisory boards, a couple of corporate boards. I got enough things to do. There's life after Congress.
Well, I know you were recently in Ludington greeting well-wishers at the Mason County Airport and Ludington Convention and Visitors Bureau.
We did that yesterday afternoon. We were going to have a farewell in December. Speaker Pelosi at that point in time kept us in session, and so we weren't able to do it. I thought that was it, but the folks up in Ludington and Muskegon said, no, Pete, we want to still do this, and so we did it. We did Ludington and Muskegon. We had very nice get-togethers yesterday, an opportunity for me to thank the people of the 2nd District for what was a great working relationship with the folks in the district over 18 years, and for them to say thanks and goodbye to Pete. So, Diane and I, we enjoyed the events yesterday.
Congressman, what's your take on what's going on in Egypt?
My take on what's going on in Egypt is that nobody really knows, and that we are moving into our uncharted waters. We've got to be very, very careful here. Egypt is kind of a linchpin in the Middle East, economically, politically, we've just got to be very, very careful. We have to recognize that we can't steer or control events in Egypt. I think President Obama has found that out in the last few days. I think a couple of people on his intelligence team yesterday made some unfortunate statements. The director of the CIA seemed to indicate that Mubarak would be stepping aside later in the day. A lot of people thought that, but when you get the director of the CIA of the United States of America saying, hey, I think Mubarak's going to step aside later today, guess what? Most of the world believes that that's going to happen. It didn't. And then perhaps the most stunning comment yesterday was from the director of National Intelligence, Jim Clapper, someone who I know very, very well, who seemed to indicate that the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, that they were kind of an okay organization, that they were a secular organization, and, maybe implying that we didn't have much to fear from them at all. And, my understanding of the Muslim Brotherhood, and I think most other people and a lot of other folks, even in the Middle East, have a much different view of the Muslim Brotherhood. So we've got to be very, very careful. And I think, the administration and government officials need to be very restrained in what they're saying, because this is very unpredictable right now.
Well, to echo what you just said, Egypt's foreign minister in an interview yesterday said the United States should stop meddling in Egypt's internal affairs. It makes you wonder if the U.S. is involved.
I'm sure that we are involved. We are talking to a lot of people. Through back channels, we've got lots of linkages into the Egyptian army. Much of their army, many of their officer corps have trained in the United States. They've got friends and relationships in the U.S. military. And then obviously, the president and people in the administration have been making public statements trying, to influence, what's going on, in the Middle East. And then you've got, I think even this morning, perhaps, the Saudis, saying that, this is President Obama's fault, the continued turmoil in Egypt. So Sometimes it's as much as you want to get involved, you just have to recognize that there's only so much you can do. Step back, be quiet, use back channels, and then hope and pray for the best.
Congressman, are you planning to run for Debbie Stabenow's office?
Oh, man, I'll tell you, we just came off of a statewide race. We were unsuccessful. But my wife and I and our family, we thoroughly enjoyed that race. We didn't enjoy losing. But when you come off of a race like that, you don't automatically say, at least we didn't say, hey, we lost it. Now we got to find another one to get into. We've had a lot of encouragement to do this. We'll take a hard look at it, but we've made no decision at this point in time. But we didn't come out of the last race saying, no, we'll never do anything like this again. Public service is an honor. Elections are hard work. We knew that. We just have to decide whether this is the right thing for us to do at this time or whether it's more appropriate for someone else to take a shot at that.
Are people urging you to do so by forming a committee and fundraising events?
Not that I'm aware of. No, I'm not doing any fundraising. I'm not going. I'm doing events for some of my former colleagues in the House, political events. But I'm not doing events. I'm not doing fundraising. I haven't put those kinds of steps into place.
We've got a couple more questions for Congressman Pete Hoekstra on the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com. Yesterday, the State Board of Education made some recommendations that the testing and what we want our students to achieve be upgraded to match many other states around the United States. It's going to be harder right now for a lot of districts and a lot of teachers to meet those standards. What's your take on the state of education in Michigan, especially when funding is going to be such a challenge with this budget deficit?
Well, we've got to clearly do things differently. They're going to see their budgets, I believe, either frozen or cut. The money that they're getting from Washington is going to be frozen or cut. You really got to start doing things differently. And I think this is where there's a huge opportunity. And I'm going to be speaking to the lieutenant governors in 3 or 4 weeks when they come into Washington, D.C. And one of the things that I'm going to recommend is take a look at the bureaucracy that we've imposed on our local school districts, both at the federal level and at the state level. We found that for every federal dollar spent on K-12 education, 30-35% and even 40% of these dollars were used in bureaucracy and paperwork. Cut the spending 10%, cut the paperwork and bureaucracy by 60-70%, and guess what? That means there's more money into the classroom. You can do these kinds of things, and that's the kind of change that people at the state level and the local level have to be advocating for. Get more bang for our buck, and the way to do that is to do things differently than how they've been done before. So what happens in business? We did this when I was at Herman Miller. Companies all across the state are going through cross-cutting measures. They're not giving their customers poor customer service or lower quality products. They've just found a way to squeeze every penny out of the cost structure. We've got to do that in education. I think there's opportunities to do that.
Should President Barack Obama's Obamacare, that issue, make it all the way to the Supreme Court? And the Supreme Court says that that's unconstitutional. What happens then?
Well, if the Supreme Court says that it's unconstitutional, it most likely will rule that parts of the bill are unconstitutional. And most likely part is the one that says, the federal government is telling Tony and Pete Hoekstra that they have to buy health care insurance. And by the way, this is exactly what the policy is going to look like. That may be I think that will be found to be unconstitutional. That really then starts to take down it starts the collapse of Obamacare. You really have to rethink it at that point in time. A repeal of health care, and even before that time, repeal of health care is the appropriate thing to do and put in place more free market solutions. And I think we can address the issues. Clearly, there have to be things that have to be changed and improved. But Obamacare, from my perspective, I fought it every day that it was on the agenda in Washington. And I hope it gets repealed and Republicans and Democrats reach a consensus on how to move forward on health care reform.
And finally, Pete, when we talk about this budget deficit, do you think that the Congress will attack this in the short term and start trying to reduce it?
I think so. I mean, I've seen some positive steps coming out of Congress in reducing spending for the current fiscal year. I think that from my discussions with colleagues on the Hill, Republicans and Democrats are also have been prepared to take on some of the entitlement spending, which is where we are really in the biggest trouble. And so, you know, I think they're going to do it in Washington. I'm encouraged by what I hear coming out of Lansing, that they're going to do the same thing. And if we can get our fiscal house in order at both the state level, state levels around the country, and at the federal level, I think it's really going to help put our economy back on solid footing. People will have a confidence as to what the tax codes are going to be, what the spending levels are going to be. They're going to have confidence in state governments and federal government, and they will then be able to start investing in their businesses again. Businesses hate uncertainty. They hate uncertainty as they're thinking about whether they're going to add people or invest in new plant equipment. Let's give them some certainty as to where we are headed at the state level, the federal level, and I think you can see this economy come back and come back strongly. I've got confidence in what Governor Snyder's doing here in Michigan, and what I think what I hope will happen in Washington.
And elaborate a little bit on what you think of Governor Snyder and what he's done so far, and especially as he approaches probably the first big moment of his tenure, and that's releasing the budget.
Well, I mean, I think what he's done is he set a very, he set a very professional tone in Lansing. He has brought in, I think, a lot of good people. He has reached out to people on both sides of the aisle. He's going through this in a very methodical way. He recognizes that when he rolls out the budget next week, Thursday, I believe that there's going to be a lot of eyes taking a look at it, but there people are going to look at it, and I think when they see the process that Rick has gone through, they're going to say, we don't like it, we don't like parts of it, but we recognize that it's necessary, and Rick has put together the team and the people, and he's made choices, and sure, maybe we'll change some of the specifics in the proposal, but overall, we're going to have to do much of what the governor is proposing if we want to get Michigan moving forward again. I think Rick has built a dialogue, with the people here in Michigan that gives him some leeway and some flexibility because I think he's developing, a reputation that people have confidence in the professional way that he's going after tough issues.
We've been talking with former Congressman Pete Hoekstra. Congressman, thanks so much for your time. Look forward to doing it again.
All right. Hey, good. Thank you. Thanks for the call. Have a great day.